Time to go. All right, next up, we're going to have Christian Brano talking to us about the VFS.
Hello. It's a microphone is on. I'm Christian. I'm one of the VFS maintainers.
James is not.
James. No more FIPS, please. I'm one of the VFS maintainers, and I want to talk a bit about what we've done. I think it's just a few selected updates of what we have done in the last year, I think, and that's really just a small portion, and just deals with a subset of stuff that we have done that is UAPI visible. There is obviously, as we just heard in a talk before, there's always a ton of changes, internal changes going on to make stuff faster, rework locking, and so on. But that's just not what we're going to be concerned about with yet. So I really have a bunch of topics. It's not possible to do this all in 30 minutes. So if you have specific things that you are interested in, we can also skip over stuff and go and talk about other things. And you should also feel free to ask questions if you have any while I'm talking. It's usually more interactive that way. But anyway, one of the big things is obviously we have a new mount API. It's new in the sense that it came out in 7 or 8 years ago, and parts of user space have switched to it. Other parts haven't. But it's seeing more and more adoption. And the really nice thing is that it's not path-based. It's purely file descriptor-based, which is kind of neat because paths are unsafe. This way, you don't have to have anything visible in the file system. You can just interact with mounts via file descriptors. They don't need to be anywhere in your current mount namespace. One thing that we did, that's a while ago, we introduced the concept of a 64-bit mount ID so that you can uniquely identify each mount. So before that, we had a 32-bit mount ID, and on a busy system where you have lots and lots of containers, these mount IDs can quickly be recycled, not just because eventually you will wrap around. That's one possible concern. The other thing is that the way these mount IDs were allocated was if you unmounted a mount that had a specific mount ID, you created another mount, then it was very likely that it had the same mount ID than the previous mount, because the allocator quickly recycled. For example, the pit number allocator is such that it wraps around before it actually starts recycling. And this old mount ID allocator always quickly recycled mount IDs. We changed that. We gave it a 64-bit mount ID to make it stable and more predictable. There is now an API that is built around this. Another thing is if you wanted to watch for mount notifications, you had to pass a specific file. We get to that as well. We have replaced that part of the API in recent years as well. So, okay, what have we done? We added a new system call called StatMount, and you can think of it as a companion to StatX in a way, only that A, it doesn't work on file descriptors. Well, that's technically not true anymore. It works on 64-bit mount IDs, but for various reasons, we also made it possible now that you can use FDs with these system calls as well, because under certain circumstances, you cannot look up a mount anymore. I won't go into details, but an unmounted mount, you can't find via its mount ID anymore because it has been wiped from all mount namespaces. But in any case, 64-bit mount ID. So you call StatMount on a mount ID that you can retrieve that via StatX. That's where we expose the mount ID. You can call StatMount, and then you get a whole range of information about this mount. There's a ton of stuff in there. You get the superblock mount options. You get a mount option string, which is all the file system specific mount options. You can retrieve the generic mount flags, obviously. You get the mount point. You get the root of the mounts, which can be different if you have a bind mount, for example, and a ton of other stuff as well. We also enhanced mount namespaces themselves. They also have a 64-bit mount ID, which means you step mount also works across mount namespaces. So if you retrieve the mount ID of a mount namespace ID of a specific mount namespace in the container, you don't need to be located in a mount namespace of that specific container. You can call step mount for a mount in that particular mount namespace from outside. Which is quite powerful. So because traditionally, interactions with mount namespaces specifically always required you to be within that namespace to be able to see mount properties and so on. We don't require that anymore with the new mount API. The companion system call, so here you can see hopefully somewhat readable, probably not in the back, but you will have the slides available, what kind of options you can retrieve via the set mount system call. It's really extensive, like everything that you could possibly want. I think it's nowadays even more than what you can see in the mount info file. We get to that in a second. The second system call that we added is list mount, because stat mount is obviously useful. Like, you can stat a specific mount ID, but obviously you want the ability to iterate through a list of mounts efficiently. If you implement something like that, you have different ways of doing this, right? So you could, for example, envision